Tonight, I want you to think about this. Without the Holy Spirit, where would we be? I mean, what would it look like? Is there anything that would more grieve the Holy Spirit than the refusal of God's own people to acknowledge His help or to acknowledge His empowerment, to acknowledge the fruit He wants to produce in our life and the gifts He wants to release in our life? I think that's very grievous to the Holy Spirit. You know, once you are born again, you have an authority as a child of God, and you have an inheritance in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is part of that inheritance with all His beauty and all His bounty. He comes into our lives to help us live the Christ life. Without the Holy Spirit, where would we be? Listen to Luke 24. I love Luke's description. This is of some of the last ministry that Jesus had before His ascension. He told His disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I love that phrase, promise of the Father. Did you know the Holy Spirit, when He came to live in you, that Father was keeping a promise to you? He promised that His Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. On the day of Pentecost was that initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And then there are subsequent coming upon you encounters you can have with the Holy Spirit. And there's so much that He does. We're not going to get into all of that tonight, but I just wanted to remind you what it would be like without the Holy Spirit. Hello, Kent. God bless you, brother, down there in the Mobile area. You know, 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul describing the conditions of the last days. He has a whole list of stuff that's happening. In the middle of that, having described some of the activities of the people, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such, turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What could that mean other than the form? That is, it may appear, in appearance, it may look right, may look good, may look like the real thing, and have the appearance of the real thing, but if there's no power, Paul said, turn away from it. I want to tell you something. Christianity is not a powerless belief system. It is not a powerless way to live. True Christianity is about the very Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, inhabiting the people of God, the believers in Jesus Christ. And when He comes with power and enablement. That is, the Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us to do so many things. And in a very real sense, we cannot live the Christian life without the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We may have a form of godliness, but if we deny the power, if we refuse the power, what have we to offer? We're only offering something from our own resources. So let's think about it. One thing I want to say, without the Holy Spirit, number one, our very conversion cannot take place without Him. In John chapter 3, when Jesus describes the new birth to a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus, He says in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh," speaking of the natural birth, "and that which is born of spirit is spirit." That's the spiritual birth, the new birth. And Jesus told him, "Don't marvel that I say to you that you must be born again." Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be born again. You cannot, we cannot be converted. We cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. So I want to tell you something. When it comes to your theology and what you believe, you need to make much room for the Holy Spirit. Another thing I want to say, without the Holy Spirit, our ministries are simply fueled by flesh. Without Him, I mean, what we do, we're doing of our own resources. It's just flesh. It's just natural or carnal. No, we need the Holy Spirit. I have a preacher friend that when God was dealing with him about ministry, he told him, if your ministry is not of the Holy Spirit, it's nothing. Jesus said it in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Jesus told John, you've got to be born of flesh. Now, that's that to be a natural man, yes. But if you're going to know God, he said, you cannot see the kingdom without being born of the Spirit. There's so much to be seen that you'll never see without the Holy Spirit. There's so much to be known that you'll never know without the Holy Spirit. We cannot even be converted, which is the greatest thing that could ever happen, without the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago, there was a professor from China who came on a tour of the United States. If I remember correctly, his name was Professor Tu. And he was asked on an occasion, what is your observation of the church in the United States of America? To which he replied, I have two observations. Number one, whole cities in China can live on what you people throw away. Secondly, I am amazed at what the church here can do without the Holy Spirit. Oh, what an indictment that from his discernment and explanation, we were doing all these great things, but the Holy Spirit was absent in so much of it. That's a good question for us to ask in our churches. How much, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn, how much would look just the same as it does right now? What about our lives? If the Holy Spirit was removed, how much would not be done that's being done through us now? Oh, that's a question to ponder, dear friend. How much are we allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to others through us? A third thing I want to say is, and by the way, when I said our ministries are just flesh without the Spirit, listen to Romans 15, 18. Paul said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and in deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Do you hear what he's saying? He said, I'm not going to talk about anything that happened that Christ didn't accomplish through me. He realized it was futile if Christ wasn't doing the work, if the Holy Spirit wasn't doing what was done. We must be absolutely surrendered to him. A third thing I want to say is the direction of our life as believers is without leadership, without the Holy Spirit. The direction of our lives are without leadership, without the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Only as we're led by the Holy Spirit are we walking where we need to walk and doing what we need to do. Our life as believers is leaderless without the Holy Spirit, because the scripture says he's the one who leads us. He guides us into all truth. He shows us things to come. He comforts, he teaches, and he enables our sonship to manifest when we obey him. That's what this says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. A hallmark characteristic of a person who's walking and living out their sonship to Father God is that they are led by the Holy Spirit. Why? Our lives are without direction without him. And then there's so many things on this list that can be shared. I want to share one other. Our witness is without power without the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples, tarry you here in Jerusalem. And he said, you shall receive, in Luke 34, he said, you'll be endued with power. Acts 1:8, he says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. He said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Without the Holy Spirit, Our witness is without power. Folks, we get in dangerous territory when we think that we can live the Christian life without a dependence on the Holy Spirit. Oh, we do a disservice to our King and His kingdom when we think that the ministries of the church can go forth without the Holy Spirit. We do a disservice to our King when we open up God's Word and think that we can dissect it and slice and dice it and correctly interpret it without the illumination of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, where would we be? Now, while not claiming that my theology of the Holy Spirit is completely accurate and perfect, or any of my theology in totality, I will say that it's the breath of the Holy Spirit that's moved upon me and worked through me that's enabled me to see things happen that I know could not happen if God were not at work. And that's the promise we have of our Savior. He said, I'll be with you, confirming my word with signs following until I return. And it's interesting to study those last instructions and last promises and last statements that Jesus made right before his ascension. Why is that important? Because those are the last instructions, if you will, that he gave a waiting church. And we're still under that mandate. Now, that's not to say that much revelation did not follow through the apostolic epistles and the book of Acts and so forth and the revelation that John received. But it is to say that Jesus fully expected and taught that the church would go forth under the direction and leadership and empowerment of the Holy Spirit that God promised to pour out on them. Help us to follow and to be empowered and to have a powerful witness, because the Holy Spirit is moving and working in and through our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your communion elements ready, in just a moment, we're going to do communion together. That message was just on my heart today, but God has just really been stirring my heart about the nations and how important it is for our churches to be equipped and have a heart that burns to see the Great Commission fulfilled. Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations and then the end shall come. So every fellowship of believers needs to have their fingerprints on some missionary work and touching the nations in some way, as well as our neighbors in our own community, of course. That goes without saying. And I am grateful to be part of a fellowship and surrounded by people whose hearts also burn for the nations. And, you know, sometimes, and I thank God for everything I've seen him do through the power of his Holy Spirit, but, you know, it's almost like it's the tip of the iceberg. There is so much, much more that awaits us. And I believe that one of the greatest harvests there's ever been, I'm praying that we get to see that here in these days at the end of the age, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit as never been before, a great ingathering of souls from the nations and across our nations, that our churches would catch the fire of the Holy Spirit. God, help us. God, forgive us for refusing to allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn within us. Oh, Lord, I pray even tonight that you would just fan in the flames, the gifts of God within us all, that you would create a deeper hunger and a thirst for the things of the Spirit. Lord, the world's not waiting for the church to give them something they can get at the nearest corner from the nearest guru. They're needing a demonstration of the Spirit and power. They're needing the gospel preached. They need to see the love of God manifesting through God's people and the power of God manifesting by God's Spirit. They need to see the things that only God can do happening before their eyes, that they might be quickened and awakened to the reality of who Jesus Christ is as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Let's pause now and just honor him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Would you do that with me? Would you do that with me? Would you take the bread? Oh, King Jesus, the bread that's come down from heaven. We honor you and we bless you tonight, King Jesus. Of your fullness, Lord, we've received you. You've saved us, and we thank you for the new birth of the Spirit. That's only possible because of the death you died, the life you lived and the death you died. Thank you for dying, bearing our sins in your body on the tree. And we thank you, Lord, for our blessed hope. You said we're to do this until you come back, but we're looking for you to come to see you come in your glorified body, coming through the clouds with thousands and thousands of saints and angels. Oh, Jesus, our coming King, how we worship you tonight. And we eat this bread as we're mindful of your body given on the cross of Calvary for us. Would you eat the bread now with me? Thank you, Lord. Would you take the cup, dear friends? Brothers and sisters, realizing that this represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for pouring out your lifeblood. We know without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But you stayed on that cross, Lord. You could have called for the angels of heaven to deliver you, but you stayed there. And you suffered and you bled and died and bore our sins and received the wrath that we all deserve. And now you give us your righteousness. Thank you for the new covenant sealed by your blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you that we overcome through the power of your blood. We overcome because you prevailed and overcame. And we honor you tonight, King Jesus. Would you drink the cup in honor of him? Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Mickey sends her love. Again, she's out of town tonight, but she sends her love. I just want to tell you to love you all. I may not know you, but in Jesus, I love you all. And I pray that you have a wonderful evening. I'll be back in the morning at 10:30 every Tuesday through Friday mornings at 10:30. I'm on Facebook Live. After that, the video is available. And right now I'm doing a series on how to know the will of God or knowing God's will. And there's so many fascinating scriptures around the idea of the will of God. And we're learning together and sharing that. So I invite you back in the morning at 10:30. Have a great day, a great evening. God bless you.